Fascia is an absolutely amazing system. Years ago, most people didn't know what fascia was. Where today, if you're in the health, wellness, and fitness industry, most know what this term means. Hi, my name is Deanna Hansen. I am the founder of Fluid Isometrics and Block Therapy.
And my name is Quinn Castellane. I'm the VP of Block Therapy and Deanna's nephew. Welcome to the Fascia Masters podcast.
Fascia is the connective tissue that holds our entire body together. The fascia system is involved in every aspect of your health, from pain, size and shape, how you age, athletic performance and recovery, and even managing trauma and emotions. The list goes on. When you learn how to decompress your fascia, you experience incredible changes to every level of your being.
The Fascia Masters podcast discusses everything fascia and is dedicated to empowering you with the knowledge you need to become your own self-care advocate. In this episode, we discuss the significance that fascia plays on the health of our hair. As we age, hair follicles become blocked from the development of adhesions between the scalp and the skull, which impedes blood and oxygen flow, causing hair thinning, loss, and overall aging. Learning to melt adhesions and improve flow is a wonderful way to feed the follicles to support hair health. So sit back and relax and enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of the Fascia Masters podcast. Today we're going to be talking about hair health. And we've had a lot of success from our community members mentioning that their hair has changed for the better. And we'll dive more into exactly what they have been noticing. And it's a really exciting topic because there's so many insecurities about hair. Some people that are losing their hair at maybe an earlier age. And I'm not prefacing this by saying you're going to grow back your hair by any means, but it's really cool what people are noticing from doing a fascia decompression technique and block therapy. So how does fascia directly impact or impact at all hair health?
Actually, this reminds me of a great episode that I was watching on Dr. Oz years ago. He was talking about hair health and he had this dome and he was saying when we're a certain age, the blood and the oxygen, like he had, you know, he was on this scooter and he had this dome and, you know, at a certain age when you're young, he was able to drive the scooter through the dome. And he said, add 10 years, 20 years, now the dome was half the size. So if there was like two people in the scooter, only one could get through. Add another 10, 20 years, now the dome was even less. So there was basically no blood and oxygen getting through. And then he was referencing how that really creates the graying of the hair, the thinning of the hair, and then eventually the falling out of the hair. So that was a lovely explanation because I mean that's what we talk about all the time. It's about blood and oxygen flow. But what's fascinating to understand about the migration of cells over time is as we start falling out of alignment through our journey of aging, for most people or all people, the rib cage to some degree gets pulled forward and down from the alignment, partly of the calves and the feet, the forearms and the hands. Everything starts collapsing inward, and then this is going to start pulling the head forward. So first of all, we've got the carotid arteries, the main arteries supplying the head, the brain, the hair, all of these things. As that head gets pulled forward, now we're basically blocking that flow. But what's really neat about how the fascia responds to incorrect alignment is how it grips. So for example, if I've been sitting for decades in front of my computer in a slumped forward position with my head pulled forward and over to the side, what the fascia is going to do to attempt to keep us from tipping, it's going to be gripping all over the place, through the scalp, through the face, through the entire body, really. But these grips, again, they glue or magnetically seal onto bone with a 2,000 pound per square inch seal. So that scar tissue, those adhesions are blocking flow. And then the denser that things become, the faster gravity grips. So as we start falling out of alignment, we've got our scalp and the skull. So the skull gets pulled forward and then the scalp is going to start retracting backward in order to maintain this balance. And as it's retracting, we're pulling away the hair follicles from their correct alignment. So what we typically see is as we get older, you know, that where the hair starts here, like the bang area, it starts receding back. But what's fascinating too is in the younger population, we're starting to see this at an earlier age because, again, their whole process of aging is different because they're growing up in front of technology. So to be able to release those adhesions, optimize proper blood and oxygen flow to all parts of the body, even the scalp, that is going to help create a regeneration and an improvement in hair health overall.
Hmm. That's wild. So that's a great explanation. I think I remember watching that Dr. Oz episode, maybe with my mom or something, or maybe when you initially saw it, I watched it, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's got to have been like nearly 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, so that's crazy. That's when he was big. That's when my mom was addicted to him.
Was she?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of ladies were, I think.
So what doesn't matter necessarily where your starting place is. First of all, like, what are some of the benefits that people have reached out that they've received from doing this in relation to hair health?
Well,
like, are people growing
hair, growing okay. more hair? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. In fact, one of our estheticians that's in our new program, we just had a meeting last week, and she was commenting just from doing the block therapy work mm-hmm. that her hair is already getting fuller and healthier, shinier, like all of these things. Because, I mean, that's just it. Any part of the body that doesn't receive proper flow is going to be compromised to some level. So whether your hair is starting to break and fracture along the way, or if it's thinning or whatever, it's because it's not receiving the nutrients they need. So some really great things to do in conjunction with this are inversions. You know, like in yoga, they say, like, you know, one of the best gifts we can give ourselves is to invert up to 10 minutes a day, because all the blood having to go above the heart is having to fight gravity, where when we invert, we get this clean flush of blood into the brain and all of the cells in that area, so we can pump out those adhesions or pump out those toxins and then fill that space with, you know, clean blood and oxygen flow.
Yeah, that's really cool. So this is where my brain gets puzzled, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking this too, but what about, like, when it comes down to genetics and hereditary, where you are starting to bald or get gray? Like, I have a friend of mine that started getting gray in high school. And is that all related to this same thing, or is this hereditary? Like, I have friends that are younger than me that are starting to bald already, have crazy receding hairlines. What's the cause of that? Because this, I just don't understand this topic well enough to be able to speak on it, saying, like, nope, this is your genetic makeup, and you are pretty well inevitable to start having a receding hairline at the age of 20. By the age of 35, you're going to be pretty well bald. Like, so what about people? Because I have a good set of hair, and that is, that sounds funny.
From my dad. Say. Well, no, you've got my dad's hair. Yeah,
and that's, I'm not going to, obviously, blame isn't the right word, but I'm going to kind of account that towards him. But people who aren't so fortunate necessarily when it comes to just the hair.
Right.
So what's your perspective on that? Is that genes? Like, can you reverse that?
So nature versus nurture. I think they're coming out with more and more information all the time that what's passed down to us can be changed with how we approach our bodies. And this comes back to that whole conversation around signature posture. So from the perspective of yoga, they say that we're born into this lifetime with a signature posture. The goal of this lifetime is to break through that signature posture. So the way I understand this is we are born in this lifetime with our mother's breath. So if our mother was stressed as we're developing in the womb, or if she's really calm and really healthy, or if she's a smoker, like all of these different things, right? So whatever breath you're born from at that time, and this is where siblings can come into play, because you might have had a mother who, maybe you were the oldest and she was 22 when she had you. And then maybe 6 or 8 years later, you know, she has another child and she's in a different position because time has added up, and maybe she's had trauma, or maybe she changed something. So there's different times. So it's not like siblings are all given the same prescription of what the genetics are. From that moment you're born, you have your mother's breath, and then life impacts you. So absolutely, genetics play a role. I mean, like, we're blonde because, you know, we, you know, come from Scandinavian stock, and that's where we came from, right? So there's a lot of things that we can't control, but there are so many things that we can control. So by understanding how to optimize that full diaphragmatic breath, because we're born with a compromised breath. You know, healthy babies, you can see them breathing diaphragmatically, but that doesn't mean that their full diaphragm is engaged all the time. And in fact, now we're seeing that they're not breathing the same. I worked on so many babies where they're hardly breathing through their belly. They're twisted in their core right from the get-go. So that's going to change what's happening with them. And that's why we're seeing younger people starting to have that receding hairline at a much younger age than when I was that age. I mean, you never saw anybody in their 20s with a receding hairline, where now I'm starting to see it like quite frequently. Mm-hmm. So things are changing as a result of nurture, not just nature.
Yeah.
So that's the best way I can explain genetics. And yes, we, you know, have a blueprint, but we also can manipulate what we were given for the better or the worse. I mean, if again, like, you know, you're eating horrible food and you're smoking and you're not like conscious of anything, you'll probably start losing your hair a lot earlier. In fact, I mean, I had a really scary experience years ago. We mentioned on a recent podcast about when I was really, really sick. So not only did my vision become compromised, but, and this was terrifying. So I think it was 3 months after, and I always have a bath every morning and I wash my hair in the tub. So I'm, you know, having my bath in the morning and I'm like, okay, why am I holding my hair? So it was like, wow. So, you know, the next day, same thing. So now I start researching. I'm like, what is going on? Because again, like, you know, we've got hair health classes and stuff. So
like you were losing hair?
I was losing hair really fast. I'm sure I was losing 700-800 hair a day. And you're supposed to lose what, like 90?
No idea.
90 hairs.
That's
so
wild.
Every time I would brush, every time I would look, I would literally feel like the itchy, burny, and then I would see it falling out. So again, I researched and they said after a significant fever, it can affect the growth, that cycle of the hair follicle. So I'm like, okay, how long is this going to last? And I mean, like they were saying it could last up to, you know, I think it was 6 months. And I'm thinking, holy smokes, if I keep losing hair at this pace for 6 months. Well, and I mean, you know, it's funny how that vanity piece kicks in.
Oh, yeah.
Because I am terrified. So like now there's a couple of weeks going by. And I mean, like, and when you zero in on something and you really like my eye stuff, like going through, like I always zero in and I'm like, oh my gosh, I look like a monster. But funny enough, so like you zero in on it and then that's what you see. So it's like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I have no hair left. And then you are specifically looking at it. And they actually said when I was reading somewhere, you can lose up to 30% of your hair without people noticing. But I'm looking at this and I'm just seeing this straggly, horrible looking hair. And I'm, you know, terrified. But then it was after 7 weeks that it stopped falling out. Just like that. Just like it started, it stopped. And, you know, then I remember going through the whole process of growing it back in because it was like, oh, yeah, there's that new hair level. And, you know, finally it caught up. So it was a very scary moment. But, yeah, I mean, I was actively looking, you know, where do I buy wigs? Like, I didn't know what was going to happen or how far it was going
to
go.
It's amazing where your brain goes in that moment.
It really is.
You jump to the worst case scenario. I think that's just human nature at times. But
for sure.
It's like, what happens if I literally lost 75% of my hair? Like, what am I going to do?
Well, and the part that, you know, I was kind of beating myself up a little bit because, I mean, you know, people getting chemotherapy, they lose their hair. So I'm losing my hair and I don't have something also to go through. And that was where I'm like, Deanna, get out of your vanity, like, you know, cycle, because it was affecting how I slept. It was affecting everything just because like you see it and it's like, it's in your face all the, like it was in my hands. It was on my clothes. It was on the floor. I mean,
yeah,
it was wild. And I remember you saying like, wow, like there's hair everywhere. And I'm like,
oh yeah, just coming up to film.
Yeah.
Like you would leave and I'm just like, okay, I have to vacuum again.
I know.
This is crazy.
Yeah. I know. Very, very terrifying. So I totally understand how that feels. And then fast forward, it was after my mom passed. I remember because, you know, her whole journey of going through her death process was exhausting. And then I crashed with exhaustion after that. And then I start losing the hair again. And you know, I remember somebody saying, expect it to happen again because it goes through these cycles. But I noticed it wasn't as much. And I'm thinking, okay, I've gone through this. Last time it was 7 weeks. I'm not losing as much of it. So I'm just going to stay calm. But then like it's 8 weeks and 9 weeks and 10 weeks. And then that was when I tapped into that hydrogen That was when I bought the hydrogen machine. Yeah. And the minute that I started drinking the hydrogen and I started spraying the hydrogen water on my hair, it stopped falling out just that. And it started to heal. And I'm like, holy smokes, thank God. Because again, like now it's like lasting longer than the first time, although not as fast. You still don't know when it's going to stop.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's wild what our bodies do when we're stressed, when we're sick.
It's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Stress is like the absolute worst thing. I'm not going to call out this person who I know, very close to us, started losing hair at a young age and then just like little bald spots. And it's like, was that relating to stress? Because when you're growing up and there's toxic people around you, it's like, how can your body handle this? And everybody responds differently to stress.
So and that gut health piece too, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Like there's so many connections with all of it, but it's crazy that, and I know like, as you mentioned in the moment, how terrifying it is to start losing your hair. But like, I know you mentioned your eyes and you're going through a healing crisis, but it's, I'm going to use the word cool, but it's cool to see you navigate through this because then you're able to communicate this to other people and say, hey, I'm human too. I go through healing crises as well.
Yep.
My eyes are detoxing more than your eyes. Like your brain, like something's detoxing significantly.
Yeah.
And when you start on something, you don't stop.
Yeah.
Like you go until it's out of your body.
Well, and then the cool thing though about this compared to the hair, especially if you have long hair, it takes years to grow hair big this time. Long. So, I mean, like, as long as it's going to take for me to get rid of this, I mean, some days they look worse than others as they're going through their detoxing and all that stuff. But, I mean, as I'm thinking, holy smokes, like, if my hair falls out completely and then I want it long again, it's going to take me 7 years to grow it back as opposed to just, okay, you know, there'll be a moment when my eyes are better finally.
Yeah.
And again, improved vision. So I'm appreciative of the gifts of what I'm going through. It's just,
Yeah. No, it's crazy. What we go through and what we experience. But again, like, I think it's important, sounds funny and bad at the moment, but it's important that you go through these things. Yeah. I go through my own weird things and we're able to communicate back to the community, how we got through this onto the other side and how there's actually improvements after a healing crisis or a traumatic event or whatever the situation is.
I think another thing that's really important for the health of the hair, I'm taking that polyphenol olive oil every day. I think you are too. Mm-hmm. You know, having those really
good... It's not
good...
as specific as yours. Mine's just like an organic extra virgin olive oil, but you take a specific one.
I do, yeah. It's actually... I know there's a number of different amazing ones out there, but I happen to take Stephen Gundry's 30 times the polyphenols in that olive oil. So, you know, I take a couple of tablespoons every day. And then hydration. You know, if we're dehydrated, your hair is going to look dehydrated. Like, you know, I like it because, you know, hair is kind of like the fascia. You know, like if it's sitting in correct alignment, like there's flow where, you know, you get them tied together. Like if I go in a convertible for an hour with my hair down, you know, I'm gonna have pieces over here tied to pieces over here. And then like, that's really what happens to our fascia. Like there are these filaments that, you know, when in correct alignment have ease of flow. Just like if my hair is, you know, got no knots, I can just easily brush through it. Where if they're all tied together now, it's almost impossible to brush through those knots. So then what we do is we add conditioner in, we massage it around, and that's really what we're doing with blocking.
Exactly.
You know, we're putting those, we're melting those frozen fats, those frozen proteins so that we can liquefy things again in the body and then we can
integrate it.
Release, yes.
Yeah, no, exactly. So improved hair from hair looking shinier, thicker.
Yeah.
Some people notice that their hair is actually growing back, maybe less gray. I know you did a discussion with Walter Kells recently. Wow.
Seriously. Wow.
But the feedback on that video was absolutely incredible. Like that guy's a rock star. But people noticed in his before and afters, and you can see that on our YouTube channel, Block Therapy, and the thumbnail is his before and after. But
it looks
so
like
many,
20 years a difference.
Well, 100%. But also the hair quality looked totally different. It's like, did he dye his hair? And
But it's more than just the color.
Oh, yeah. Like it is fuller. It's more there. Like that was mind-blowing. So there's a ton of people that have these results. Do you want to be really cool if we were like omniscient and we could just see and know everything of what everybody who's doing block therapy? And it's like, oh, there's actually like 1,000 people that have noticed like a crazy change in their hair. Obviously only the people that reach out to us to let us know, but regardless, it's phenomenal. It's working. And again, we're not saying this is the number one thing in the world that's going to help you grow back your hair or improve your hair health. Find other things, like as you mentioned, that can complement this process as well. You said the hydrogen, spraying the hydrogen water in your hair, taking that specific olive oil. Like, there's so many different things, but there's also different products out there that people can use as a topical or maybe like a shampoo that's claimed to help grow back your hair. Now, I'm not saying that you know anything about this, but do you know any reasoning why that would work? Like, what's the idea behind these products? Are they creating some sort of stimulation to pull more blood to the surface? Like, or is this just,
I don't know. Like with cosmetics, it's basically a game of, it's a business, right? I mean, yes, I wash my hair every day. What I don't do is I don't use any products in my hair. I don't blow dry my hair. Okay, so I just want to share an experience I had. Like, I'm super sensitive to chemicals. Mm-hmm. So as a result, I don't use any because I've learned. So back when I was 28, and this is before this whole journey began for me. So I had very blonde hair like I do now, but it was starting to get like a mousy color. And my sister.
What's a mousy color?
Like, it was losing its shine, its luster. It was looking okay. Just less blonde. It was just kind of, it was aging, basically.
Yeah.
So my sister, your mom, who was a hairdresser at the time, she said, I think we should do some highlights. So I hadn't done anything like this before. So I agree. This was another one of those moments of like, you know, hair scare, right? Hair scare. Yeah. I'm sitting in the chair. And I mean, this was, I don't even know, because I've only done it once. And you'll learn why in a second. But so you put the cap on, you pull the hairs through, and then she puts the peroxide solution
or whatever.
Yeah, stuff on. And she had another client at the time. So within 30 seconds, and she's now over on the other side of the mirror working with her other client, within 30 seconds, I said, is my scalp supposed to be on fire? And she's like, no, get to the sink. And so as I'm running to the sink, a little splotch of the stuff, the solution, fell on my arm, and I take it off and all the hair on my arm comes off.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh. And then she starts rinsing, and the amount of breakage.
Ugh.
Oh my gosh. It was just mortifying.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I'm never doing that again. And only one time in my life have I actually taken prescription meds, and horrible, horrible reaction. So I don't do those things. So like, I've just learned in my own body that I can't do that. So
yeah.
I don't put anything on my hair. I don't put any product on my hair. I don't even blow dry my hair. I wash it with an organic shampoo and an organic cream rinse. And that's basically it, because whatever we're putting on our hair, just like cosmetics, we're going to be absorbing it through our skin.
Big time.
So these are things too, like people over treat their hair.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where it's damaged, just like anything.
And you have to keep using more of it just to make it look half decent.
Yeah. So for people that are like, you know, curling irons or straighteners or whatever, all those chemical products, like that's going to catch up down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to end up having issues with your hair. And then, I mean, I've known lots of people that are just like, oh my gosh, I had to stop all of that and grow it all out, just like I did when I lost it. So we learn our lessons through those consequences. And sometimes it takes a long time before the consequences even show, because especially if you start doing it when you're really young, and you know, like when we're young, our bodies can handle different things than when we start getting older. So for me, it's, you know, as natural as you can be.
Yeah.
That's to me what is always the best thing to do. I do once in a while, which is lovely. We've shared this Prairie Sun Healing before. And I use it on my face. I use it for whatever. And sometimes I'll actually put a little bit in my hair the night before, because it'll look really greasy, because it's like coconut oil and other oils and stuff, as well as the THC, which is the healing salve part of the process. So I'll put it on
and,
my hair.
We actually did a discussion with him, and he explained
yeah.
how this all works. Even for like pain, a lot of people use it as a topical to help with pain, but we have that on our YouTube channel as a discussion.
Yeah.
But sorry, carry on.
So I'll just, you know, kind of like, you know, put it through my hair the night before, I'll sleep with that. And then when I wash it in the morning, it's like, it's a repair. It's beautiful. So I just love that product personally. And again, it's all natural. So that's always what I'm going to be drawn to using. So for me, it's, you know, the hydration, the good fats, the good nutrients, of course. And then not doing stuff. Like, you know, my hair is a lot nicer than when I was young. When I was young, it was blonde, but it was thin and it was super fine. I feel so much more hair now than I've, and probably for the last 10 years, with the exception of when I lost a whole bunch of it twice.
Yeah.
But outside from that, the inversions, the breath, the alignment. I mean, we want this flow to be correct. And what's so fascinating too is when I'm looking at people and I give them a prescription, like when I look at the assessments and I give them prescriptions, even when they're focused on their lower body only, and then we get those follow-up photos, the change in the alignment of their head and their hair and the quality of their hair is so different. It's truly neat. I also, this is a little off topic, but not really. So one of the people that joined us at our retreat, she was sharing how she's been blocking for a couple of years, but's really frustrated because she isn't really getting the results that a lot of other people are getting. And so now you've got my attention. Like, why are you not getting the results when you've dove in and you're blocking this much? So I connected with her just last week and I said, okay, so I've got your photos. And I said, we just had this interview with Walter Kells. And all I want you to do for 5 days, because I was seeing her again 5 days later, all I want you to do is as much time as you possibly can on your feet. And then I gave her her husband something to do, but never got around to doing that. So literally all she did was the change in her feet. Holy smokes. Like, again, just really ties in what's going on. She had some stretch marks on her abdomen and her after photos, without ever touching them, they've changed completely. Her whole body is lifting. Her elbows have changed. Her knees have changed. You know, what was very locked and held before, now you're starting to see everything undo. So as a result of that, everything up the chain is changing. So again, it just makes me so excited because I always believe for everything and everyone, there's solutions. We just have to get to the root of it, right?
Well, and that's what makes it so interesting and why pain can be a bit of a challenge, because it can be individual. Well, it is individual, but of course there's patterns that we can read within like a majority of X amount of people. Okay, this can be your issue. This is where we still need to start. But yeah, in those cases, that's really cool to kind of take that on as a project and realize, okay, it is still the feet. I think it's always still going to be the feet. Yeah. The calves and the feet are always going to be a major, major component to really any issue. That's a bold statement, but
no,
really
it's not any... though. It's the foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can build,
it's hard to argue that.
Well, it is. You can build the most amazing structure and you put it on quicksand and it's no longer an amazing structure. Half of it's in the ground, right? Yeah. So without understanding, you know, how significant the alignment of the feet are and how that just every single step we take, you know, it manipulates. And those like a clock, you know,
winding, over time.
Over time, it's
like,
wild.
Think of doing it, like walking incorrectly for a day.
Yeah.
Then think of that for a week, then a month, then a year, then a decade, then like 50 years. Like, it's unbelievable.
And that's why, like, I get so excited about this stuff, like with my eyes, because I can't remember. It might have even been Gary Brecka, who we've mentioned before. I was watching one of his videos and he was saying that every 7 weeks, our entire cellular structure has like rebirthed itself.
Is it 7 weeks or like 7 years?
I thought he said 7 weeks. It was wild because I'm like, holy smokes.
That's very different.
Yeah.
Crazy.
7 weeks. You know what? Let's double check. But I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
Okay.
So now I'm thinking like, holy smokes. Okay. So here we go through this aging process. If all we're doing is continuing to compress, to collapse, to take away that internal space, as those cells squish, become manipulated, the telomeres shorten because there's less space, each time they replicate, they're going to replicate from that last moment 7 weeks later, then they're going to keep replicating from that last moment 7 weeks later, and so on and so on. So we age. as we start decompressing and pulling out the garbage. Every replication, every 7 weeks, is going in the other direction.
That's a really good visual.
Well, and
that's
what
a really good way of explaining it.
Is with this stuff, especially with this eye, I'm noticing that this eye is moving out more here. So, I mean, we're all asymmetrical.
Yeah, you're looking funnier.
I'm certainly kidding. Not looking good. That's for sure.
I am totally kidding.
But nonetheless, like, my structure is changing from this. Now, I'm also beating myself up daily to deal with this. Because again, like, but I think about as whatever has come. And when I wake up in the morning, like, I'm peeling. Remember years ago when I had that little spot on my head? Yeah. I never had it diagnosed, but it was probably, you know, I'm thinking skin cancer, because right there I had a part. And I would go in convertible all the time, and I would burn there. And then I'm feeling it, and it felt spongy. And I'm like, oh, that's not probably very good. So I decided, okay, well, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to work on it. And you had just moved in to the space in my apartment, so I was seeing you frequently. And I remember I started working on it, and you couldn't see it, but I could feel it, like this little spongy soft spot. So I start working on it, and then out comes a sore. And it was wild, because it was like every day there'd be like skin peeling away, like it would be like it would knit and then release. And then after a short period of time, what was one sore was then two, then three. Here's the Fibonacci sequence, as this petal is getting pulled out of my head, basically. And I just kept thanking God that, like, I had bangs, because it looked atrocious. Now I can't cover my eyes, yay for me. But nonetheless, a very similar scenario is going through. Like, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll, like, lift my eyes up and I can feel that knitting because I beat them up the night before, getting all that blood flow. And then I'll, like, you know, move it around and, like, I'm peeling skin off. So this deeper healing can take place, and I'm getting through it. I don't know how much. I mean, you know what? I'm never going to want to rush a healing crisis, because take as long as you need, right? Like, get out and keep rebuilding and keep going in the right direction. But that's the fascinating piece. So I'm aware that every 7 weeks, from whatever time that one cell was regenerating, it's now coming from a cleaner place.
From a better place.
Because, again, I mean, maybe that would be the brain tumor that my mom ultimately died from, that I would have been accumulating over the years as I get older. Who knows?
Yeah.
And so I'm just thrilled that it's leaving.
Yeah.
I just would like it to end soon, but...
Yeah, no
kidding. No rush, head. Like, you know, take as long as you need.
No, I totally get it. So another thing I was thinking of, and we've talked about this in the past, is how some people have cowlicks. That's just like a term for when, I don't know, a hair area of your hair like kind of sticks up. I think people know what a cowlick is.
Yeah.
And then you've noticed changes with cowlicks by working in the fascia system and working probably more specifically in the head, face, scalp area. But that's also really cool, just to see that if you have a cowlick that could be asymmetrical, or maybe, and I'm not saying that like cowlick is a bad thing by any means, but it's just like,
it's an indicator though. It's an indicator that there's a twist and a grip. Cause I had one here, you know,
even like, even if you're born like that,
well, if we're still born with a signature posture, none of us are born perfect.
Yeah.
We're born with a breath that's compromised and a twist as a result of that. So I had one right here. So when I would try to bring because my hair is so straight, they're easy to see, right? And then I'd have this like, boop, this little twist over here. So that's gone from all of the work. But it's neat because you can really see them on animals. Like if you've got a dog or a cat, and you can see in their fur pattern, wherever there's those twists, that's an indicator of the fascia's gripping, which again is no different than what is cellulite. It's that grip spiraling to hook onto bone. So as it's spiraling to hook onto bone to stop us from tipping, now the hair starts growing in that twisted way, and now you have a cowlick.
Yeah, very interesting.
That's a great point you brought up.
Yeah, so that's just really cool that you've had success with that, and that it is something that you can mitigate or even get rid of if that's your intention by any means.
Now, super exciting, and I reference Gary Sharp. He's one of my heroes. He's in our community. He has the website Outthinking Parkinson's. When we shared our hair health class, and like really simply all we're doing in that class is I would take, you know, 3 minutes and we would work on an area to decompress it with just pressure. So I was doing it at a table where elbow was resting on the table, and then working on an area. And then after that, taking the hair right at the base and drawing the scalp away from the skull so that we could create that fluidity. Because if you take your hands to your head, you should be able to, with ease, move the scalp on the skull. But a lot of people are sticky. And where the bald spots start to happen is where they're the stickiest. So Gary had noticed after he started doing this hair health class frequently that it was he shared it was the most impactful thing to help him with his neurological issues with Parkinson's, but he also noticed that his hair was starting to grow back.
That's crazy. Because even how certain people will develop maybe just a gray spot on their head, it's like, well, why did it decide to develop right there? Well, that's where there's going to be a lack of flow. That's where there's adhesions. Like, it's a pretty straightforward, simple concept. It's just understanding what's actually causing this. And sure, it's not as simple as just going to that spot and releasing it. Sure, there could be a full body approach, but still you'll probably get decent benefit by working directly in that area.
Yeah. And I mean, again, just even understanding when we have those grips, just like if you have cellulite, of course, again, that vanity piece kicks in. We don't like the appearance, but what does it actually mean from a flow perspective of your whole fascia system? Because those grips are blocking flow to cells on the other side and keeping toxins trapped in that space as well. So we get to understand when we start to look and understand as above, so below. So, you know, if we've got like a bunch of moles coming to a surface, you know, that's an indicator. As things change in your body, it's giving you information as to what's happening underneath the surface. And when we can really learn and read the body with that intention, then we know where we want to start spending our time and, you know, working to get rid of those adhesions and improve that flow.
One more thing I want to mention, because this is becoming more of a trend right now. I think trend's probably the right word to use, but hair transplants. This is like a big thing. People, like, I'm seeing influencers, some massive names all around the world are, you can do them, I'm sure, locally or in the US, but a lot of them are flying to Turkey. And you can get it done for incredibly cheap compared to doing it in the States. And anyways, so let's say you have a receding hairline or a bald spot, or you are bald and you want your hair to come back. Now, I think what they're doing is grabbing hair follicles from other areas of maybe your head or your body, and then like literally one by one transplanting them into your scalp. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, it works. It 100% works from what I've seen and from what I've heard. And it's amazing that there's technology there. But I'm just thinking, like, once again, if your foundation's off or what's happening underneath is completely twisted, like, I'm just curious, like, what's really going on? And if there are going to be some, I don't really see like a ton of negative consequences to this, but just what are your thoughts on this whole hair transplant
trend? As soon as we puncture our fascia, we create scar tissue. So whether it's from a needle, whether it's from a knife or a cut or whatever, as soon as there's puncturing, now we increase in scar tissue. Gravity loves scar tissue. It's going to grip and manipulate it. So as you mentioned, this is a trend. Trends, you know, take off long before we see consequences decades later. So that's a good question. What will happen to the people having these? Will there be, you know, a different consequence to aging? Who's to say? But all I know is that as soon as we puncture through our fascia, we are creating more scar tissue. And scar tissue is, in my view, the root of it all. All the not good. Because now you've got blocks to blood and oxygen flow. So rather than going through, and no different than if you get breast implants, for example, because now we're putting, again, if we're getting implants, likely we're not focused on this kind of work. So you have an asymmetrical rib cage, as we all do when we're starting, unless we're really conscious about changing that. And then you go and you put foreign objects into your tissue and you're already asymmetrical. So now there's more density. Now gravity's going to manipulate that faster. So, I mean, I know a lot of people that have had explants because the implants were problematic. And then you're left with the scar tissue. I mean, I had a breast reduction. So I've got the scar tissue. And I was, you know, I wouldn't do that now if I knew then what I know now. Mm-hmm. But I'm really glad that I did, because I learned so much about how to release scar tissue from the bone as a result of what I experienced.
Yeah.
So, like, this body that we've been given is so incredibly amazing, and the ability for it to heal is beyond what we can imagine if we give it what
fully,
it needs.
I fully believe in that.
It's just people also, like, they want things to happen right away.
Well, that's how we've been trained as a society.
Yes.
And that's so unfortunate.
It is.
There's...
And we're also very superficial. I mean, we all judge everybody on how they look.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunate, because really, if we judged people on how they made us feel and not judged, if we, you know, looked at relationships based on that first, before that initial, you know, superficial glance at somebody, I think we would be in a very different scenario than we are now.
Yeah. So I think, like, major key takeaways are absolutely fascia decompression. It's been working, and that's just what we know. This has been helping people. That's, without a say, absolutely incredible. Then all of these other additional things you can either try, whether, as you mentioned, hydrogen, this, that, certain foods, nutrition, vitamins, minerals, all that's going to be a massive benefit and a compliment. Again, that's going to be individualized person to person. Again, we're not experts on all these other things that you can necessarily take to improve your hair health. But I think a massive one is, like, cutting down on what you're putting on your hair, what you're putting on your skin. Because if, like, the skin's the biggest organ, and we've talked about this before, don't put anything on your skin that you wouldn't put in your mouth.
Yes.
And that's, like, kind of a gross thought, because if your skin can absorb that much, and majority of things you put on your skin you're not going to want to eat, that's, like, a bit of a wake-up call for a lot of people. And
I've always joked, and I apologize in advance if I am offending anybody, but I mean, being a blonde, you know, through my life I've heard countless dumb blonde jokes, right? Yeah. And I've always stood up and said, you know what, it's not the real blondes, it's the ones that are putting peroxide on your hair, because it's absorbing into your brain. Anyways, that's just a fun little, it's like a caveat on my end, but funny. Think about it though. Like, if you're on a regular basis putting, you know, bleach into your scalp and it's absorbing into your brain, that's going to have a negative effect.
For sure.
Down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think.
And I have many, you know, dumb blonde moments I do have to share though. Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah.
I think there's something else I was going to say, but I can't think of it on the top of my head now. But all in all, like, I wanted to just bring in the mental component, because you talked about, like, sure, we're all used to a quick fix, and that could be through a topical, a pill, a whatever. And again, very unfortunate, but there are quick fixes if you're in tune with your body. And this is many layers to it, from your breath decompressing your fascia to what you're taking in from more of a micronutrient perspective. Macronutrients don't even really matter as much as micronutrients when it comes to, like, health. It does, but anyways. But the mental component, like, again, I'm thinking back to the meditations and the absolute phenomenal results people get from following specific meditations, start connecting the coherence between the heart and the brain and the mind, and just being positive and just actually believing that what you're doing is going to be good. There's a reason why with every study, there's the placebo study that's part of it.
Yeah.
And why, I almost swore because I was getting so, like, built up tension there, but it's like, why isn't that talked about more? And it should be. If people have this issue or this disease or cancer, whatever it is, and they try this treatment, but these people are given sugar pills and they're noticing a benefit from taking a sugar pill, then why aren't people talking about that more? Like, why isn't that more mainstream? That it's right in front of our face.
Yeah.
It's like, just believe. Like, you have to believe. Now, it's hard to trick yourself when you know this is a sugar pill. But if I were to say, hey, if you take 60 deep breaths a day, if you block for 30 minutes a day, you are going to grow your hair back. I bet you people will much quicker than if we weren't to say that.
I totally agree, because I mean, it's you know, Greg Braden in The Science of Compassion, Walking Between the Worlds, where he's sharing about the frequency of love looks like a sine wave, I think. It equals the frequency of our DNA. The frequency of fear is a slow wave. So when you superimpose those frequencies, the fear frequency actually shuts down the codons in our DNA, where the frequency of love turns on those codons. Mm. So, and I mean, I was doing that too, where I was, you know, saying to myself, I have a healthy head of hair, or like whatever mantras.
But you have to like really believe
it. It. Yes.
You have to feel it and believe it as if you already have it.
Yes.
And that's again, kind of like the quick answer formula to
manifest. Well, because there's really no time and space.
Exactly.
There's the quantum field. So when we can put ourselves into a time when we know that we are healthy, then they catch up.
Yeah. And I like how we just like randomly brought that up, but it's just, that's who we are. And we've all forgotten, not all, but majority of us have forgotten this. And it's just another really good reminder that your brain and your mind have to be in the right place. And you have to believe that things are going to get better. And it's really easy to forget. That's part of being human. That's part of being here. But yeah, after
because
this,
your attention flows where your, or your energy goes where your
attention,
whatever. I
say something like that.
Yeah. So yeah,
yeah.
If I'm going to be stressing about my hair loss, then I'm going to for sure put my attention there and it's going to happen.
Totally. Exactly. If you're stressing and you're worrying about it more and more and more and more, and I've had issues where I worry about that, but then I'm like, Quinn, take a step back. You don't even have it. It doesn't even exist.
Yep.
You're living without it, but you have to live in that meditative state for a while to like really believe it. Because I've tried it where I'm just doing, I don't know, affirmations like I am healthy, I am healthy, I am healthy, whatever the case is. That's better than doing nothing, but that's still not really changing your belief around it.
Yeah.
You have to believe it. And that takes time to rewire your subconscious brain because it is so hardwired. It takes time to work through that insanely thick barricade.
And that's where gratitude comes in. That's the step. I mean, I've read a number of things that that's those initial steps because yes, to, especially if you're dealing with a sickness and you're scared to see yourself over here as that healthy version, whatever that looks like for you. That can be a stretch, but to be grateful for, you know, I'm certainly not comparing what I'm going through to other people and what they're going through, but just being grateful for understanding what's happening. That's mm-hmm. huge in itself. Mm-hmm. Like I understand that I'm detoxing and my brain is going to be cleaner and everything is going to work better as a mm-hmm. result of this, mm-hmm. no matter how long and no matter what discomfort I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
So, that's a helpful step to start that process of getting to that other level
yeah.
where I already know that, you know, everything is as it should be and my cells are properly aligned and every cell is getting properly fed and clean and I'm good to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to believe.
Yeah.
Like we're already there.
Yes.
So anyways, that's just another, like that's a whole, you and
but
I could go
it's
on.
It's so important. So, I mean, it was such a great thing that you brought up because
it's so important.
Yeah.
That could be like multiple podcasts within itself, just talking about that, because a lot of people that sounds a little woo-woo and I get it, but that's why you want to start with the physical, because we're physical. I heard this is slightly off topic, but somebody was I listened to this podcast clip where everybody's trying to escape, let's say we're talking about meditation, or even if some people are doing intentional psychedelics to explore certain areas or heal certain, whatever the case is, they think that's the spiritual component. And sure, it can be, but we are intentionally here. So being physical is actually being spiritual. He did a complete 180 on it.
Cool.
Where it's like, no, if you want to be spiritual, you live here physically.
Yeah.
Because when we die, we don't 1,000% know what's going to happen. So enjoy this space. Yes, tap in, find the balance of understanding. Yes, there is no time and space because it's all an illusion in this 3D world. So then take advantage of that. Like, start using that to your advantage. Collapse that time into now, and you are healing. You are better. You are there. For a lot of people, again, woo-woo. So start with the physical. Start decompressing your fascia. Start connecting to your breath. That is still spiritual, as funny as that sounds, because it's all connected to the same thing.
Well, and when you connect to your diaphragm, I love it because it was Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now. When you breathe diaphragmatically, that's where God lives. Mm-hmm. When you breathe through the muscles of the upper chest, you're connected to thoughts of future and past, which is where fear lives, which aren't real.
Yeah.
So then you're living in that unreal space, but you're bringing more of that fear right into your life. And then because of that, you're holding your breath even further and you're making your cells less healthy.
Imagine if you could, this is going to sound so funny, but imagine if you could wake up every single day and you forget everything. Like,
there's
there's one with Adam Sandler where I forget exactly what it's called, but where you could forget.
Dates.
Yeah, that's the one. That's exactly it. But I don't mean like forget everything, but you could forget all of the negative things that you might be experiencing.
Yeah.
It's like you just wake up. It's like nothing has changed to you physically.
Blank slate.
But now you're waking up and it's like, oh no, I don't have pre-cancer, or no, my hair isn't falling. Whatever the case or the issue is, you're waking up. You don't even know of that. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, I'm healthy. I'm told I'm healthy. I'm good to go. Like, things are well. I'm going to stick with my routine, do this. And then
I just thought of a puppy being so happy, just jumping all over the place.
Yeah. They don't know what's really going on. They're just enjoying. They're just enjoying. They're just happy to see their owner.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a fun episode, but
we were talking about hair health, by the way.
Yeah. But again, it's all connected.
Relevant. Yeah.
And I think, everything we talked about, that's a really big stepping stone for people to understand what to add in, potential things to take out. Again, connecting to the whole understanding of belief and manifesting and how real, that's more real than real. Like, that is it, but takes practice.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm referring a lot to like Joe Dispenza work, and his
work's incredible.
It's helped me through really tough times in my life, and wow, like extremely grateful for him and everything I learned. But anyways, that wraps up the episode. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, okay, I guess I'm just gonna do my closing time. Okay, so if you are watching this or you're listening to this, if you want more information just on block therapy in general, on our YouTube channel, we share a ton of different positions and more information about this. If you want to dive into block therapy, it's blocktherapy.com. There's a lot of free gifts. You can jump into our starter package to get started with the actual block therapy work. That's the introductory program to block therapy. Other than that, if you want to join our Facebook community group, go into Facebook, type in Block Therapy Community, request access, you'll be in. Great place to ask questions and for support at any time, whether you are a blocker or you're looking to become a blocker, if this is something that you're potentially wanting to do in the future. Other than that, I hope you enjoyed the episode. That was a lot of fun, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.